Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. For those who chose to watch the debate instead of listening to our show, as I was telling those who listened to our show, we were going to just rebroadcast yesterday's show. And so what we're going to do is not necessarily rebroadcast it verbatim. What we'll do is we'll basically give you some current content. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people that watch the debates and enjoyed it, because I think Trump did a good job in handling and calling out and delineating some very important issues regarding Biden. I didn't get a chance to really sit down and articulate everything, but bottom line, I think Trump was able to show Biden's hand in the debate. But what we want to do, because the Democrats do not plan on trying to win legitimately. They're not running from their communist positions and records. What they're doing is they're trying to win the election through election fraud and voter fraud, because America really hasn't tipped over that balance to where the majority of people in America really want communism / socialism. And so what we want to do is we want to kind of go through some of the really important content and marketing that we believe is really important. We're going to kind of show, not kind of, we are going to show you some things that are going on that the Democrats are trying to do to basically get away with the Bolshevik Revolution. Because if they can't win through cheating, they're getting desperate to do everything they possibly can. They realize that in the next 4 years, they may not be in a position to push us completely over the edge. Now, I will say this, that when you look at Trump, because just like Biden said, he wants to induce single-payer type of medical system. It doesn't mean that Trump is pulling us back towards a free market medical system. He is still pushing us on the light socialist medical system. But he is not pushing us into the what we'll call the complete socialized or single payer, where the government is the provider of all medical services in the United States. And I'm going, folks, having been in the government medical system since the 70s as a Marine and still having my retirement, which I was supposed to get, by the way, I haven't railed on this probably for a long time. When I joined the Marine Corps, we were promised medical, dental services for life. Free medical, free dental. The key word, free. So what I'm telling you is we don't have our free medical, free dental, the eye care. As a matter of fact, back in those days, they didn't isolate eye care. It was all a part of your medical. And nowadays, they're breaking everything out. Pretty soon, your hearing and these types of things will become supposedly unique systems. But bottom line, you do not want the government to control your medical record and to control your medical services. You have no choice at that point. And so what Biden has done, and what Trump has done, is he's actually got Biden to show his hand that he is for communism. He wants to basically have the United States government dictate more and more and make more central decisions. And unfortunately, there's way too many people that are still willing to give up that many liberties to the state, but fortunately not enough. And I believe that that's why they're banking on a plan B, because they may not overcome in the polls. Now, doesn't matter what you hear from Fox News and all the rest of the news, that doesn't mean that that is the paradigm of America, because the media, the mainstream media, and I'm even including Fox News, the mainstream media is they're in the tank and trying to help cover this facade of what's really going on so that you don't get wise and start abandoning and actually pushing back from what the government's doing and abandoning the mainstream media altogether. They're out spinning and spinning and spinning, constantly spinning the narrative so that we continually eat bite by bite. And that's why I keep on telling people what we really need to do is we need to start disengaging and getting engaged in the solution. If you're tired and you recognize how far down this path we are, then you need to get engaged with the solution. That's why most people that have been listening to this show are starting to realize that this is the only show that provides academic evidence-based solutions. Here's a great point. There's a couple of different social media pages out there that I've engaged with for a long enough time for these people to realize what we've been talking about regarding Republic Review and what we stand for here at Reclaiming the Republic. And there was a gentleman that started calling for, and this is an Idaho page, this gentleman started calling for a state convention to rewrite their constitution. And everybody started, you can't do that. In other words, they were the status quo stick in the mud, just like the status quo conservative organizations that don't have an alternate solution. And instead, they just say, no, we can't do that, instead of providing an actual solution. As far as I'm concerned, shut up unless you have a solution. Because if they're saying that they're going to educate people, I'm telling you, the people like the John Birch Society who's been supposedly educating people since the 50s have failed. They have failed us. Don't believe this status quo concept that we're going to educate. They don't even have a plan to educate. Their basis of educating is getting you to join and to pay for their services so that they maintain relevance. That seems to be their model. It seems to be the model of most organizations. And I had a great conversation these past few weeks with different people regarding organizations and what ends up happening when you create an organization. That organization becomes dependent upon some form of revenue so that they can keep their lights on. It's almost like a preacher that gets up in front of you and is, making a living. He's feeding his family based on what you pay him. He's got to pay for his church. He's got to pay for his home, his car, all of his infrastructure. He's got a lot of bills to pay. So guess what? Is he actually going to be up there preaching the truth and as the gospel that Christ taught? Or is he going to be up there trying to get you to like what he's presenting so that you pay him? Think about that. If you understand what it takes to get people to separate their money, you have to make them feel good. So this is one of the reasons why Christian or evangelical ministry has usually used what we call, in the politics, it's demagoguery or the fear, the fire and brimstone types of sermons because, people want to be saved. But when people start realizing that, I'm such a sinner, I don't know how I'm going to be saved, especially in a world today where people are, tied and or, what's a better word for it? I want to say dependent, but There's a link that they just can't break from their addictive behavior, whether that be drinking, whether that be drugs, whether that be gambling, games. I mean, America, the whole world, except for those who live in third world nations that have no technology, it seems like the majority of the world is in this grasp, this chokehold of addiction. And so it's no wonder why the education system is teaching kids to go ahead and get involved in addictive things. Anyway, the whole point that I'm trying to really make here is that the way to teach, and the point I made in this forum, was that we actually have to start, and this is how it has to be done at the state level. You have to work in your county and your county level and start educating both the party and the parties, as well as other grassroots organizations within your county. There's your key. You got to start educating them and educating your county commissioners, or what do you want to call them, supervisors, parish, because we got parish and county and commissioners and supervisors. And so not everything's the same across the United States. I'm not just speaking in context of the state I broadcast from. So across the United States, you have to start at that local sub-element of your state, which is county or parish. You have to start educating the grassroots people to understand that your state constitution is non-compliant with the U.S. Constitution, that you really do need to rewrite your state constitution, because we've allowed our state constitutions to be drifted and to be modified outside of the process and outside of a real Republican form of process, because most state constitutions have been changed via a democratic process. In other words, 50% of the vote of the people say, yes, we want to institute this change. Well, look at Nevada. Over 50% of the people live in Las Vegas. And so does that mean that it's constitutional for the city to be able to dictate how the state's going to operate? No, it shouldn't be, because there are enough people, and the whole point of the system, and Madison made a point of this, is that they wanted to create a system that protected the minority. And when we talk about minority, we're not talking back in those days about, you know, racial minorities. We're talking about political minorities, the people that live out in those less populated counties, that their interests have to be equal to the economic interests of those in the city. We'll be right back and going into more of these details and then into the really important marketing right after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so before I ran out of time, what we need to do is we need to actually have these conversations with what is wrong with the Constitution of your state. Start calling out and identifying. Does your state have voter initiatives? Does your state have a way for people to put an issue on the ballot and or even to change the Constitution via a form of democracy? If so, then technically your state is non-compliant to the Constitution because you're supposed to have a representative government, not a democratic government. And in other words, your legislators are the only ones, just like in the U.S. Constitution, the power vested to in the Constitution is for legislative powers, or the power of legislation is vested in the House of Congress. In other words, your court can't make laws. In other words, your court can't say, hey, this is going to be legal. They can't interpret. They have to base their decisions and their verdicts based on the actual findings, the terms and definitions of how things are laid out. If there is a problem, they're not the ultimate say. The court is not the ultimate say, especially 9 times out of 10 when they're trying to reach on something that they really have no jurisdiction. Great case in point is marriage. The court system, the federal court system, has no jurisdiction over marriage. They have no ability to make a verdict on that. So when homosexual marriage goes into a federal court, the federal court is supposed to, as John Marshall stated during the ratification debates in Virginia, and it was like June 20th, and I believe it's somewhere on June 20th when he made this assertion. He said that if it is not an enumerated power, the courts will recognize that they have no jurisdiction and consider whatever law void. They have no voice on this. So in other words, if it's a state law that says they're going to ban homosexual marriage, which every state in the union except for two, count them two, have actually passed laws. But the problem is that those laws have been passed by the people. What they've done is they've taken it to the extreme of a democracy in Hawaii and in the state of Washington. A part of this conversation in this Idaho thread was I was pointing out to these folks is that when Idaho was founded in, 1890, 1880, at that point in time, communism had already been well established, or I should say the principles and concepts of communism has already been well established here in America. The state of Washington was based and built upon quote-unquote socialists, people with socialist ideas. That's why Washington State was one of the first states to have socialized medicine. That's why Washington State also was the first state to legalize abortion, because of the progressive positions. Now, in many ways, Washington has also led on liberty of other issues, but they've really failed on lots of them. But that's what you get out of a lot of the West Coast. So you can't expect, or when you look at the West Coast, you can't say, oh, well, that's a really conservative bastion. No. No, too many people came here in the beginning of the state, and they literally succumbed themselves to statism. And that was one of the points that this gentleman brought up, is that the court system in the state of Idaho was established by a federal judge. So they've already created, or was already moving forward on, the big state, big government principles of statism. So when people look at the types of constitutions they have, this is why we actually have to have these discussions. This is why we actually have to sit down and start auditing and start educating, getting people really smart to point out these flaws in the Constitution and say, that's one of our contributors. Because let me just say this, reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. The only way you're going to get over that middle part of equally informing people is actually having a sit-down conversation. Now, of course, you're going to find people that are so steeped in their bias that they won't be reasonable. But I'm telling you, the majority of Americans really are reasonable. They're just poorly informed. And when you've got the mainstream media and an indoctrination system, such as our education system, constantly driving these failed ideologies into everybody's heads, it doesn't take long to prove to people, only those who are absolutely stubborn, that they refuse to even use common sense and cognitive powers to get out of their paradigm. They are just stubborn, and they're damned based on their stubbornness. They're damned based on their unwillingness to yield to actual empirical data. one of the things we like to say about this show, this show is the only evidence-based solution show out on the air. There is no other show that is having these honest conversations, the honest dialogue that is necessary to actually get people to start going, oh my gosh, wow, how far have we really wandered? I mean, how many people out on the air today are saying that the only, within the Constitution, the only mechanism of enforcing the Constitution per the Constitution itself is the militia? I mean, do you hear Mark Levin? Do you hear Glenn Beck? Do you hear Rush? How many people that are conservative entertainers that are making millions of dollars are actually telling you the honest truth? There's a reason for that, folks. They're not vested in the solution. They don't care. They make millions of dollars. And you know what? If they can continue to make millions of dollars without having to sell you the solution, then they're going to continue and they will have their little footing or their little edge. At least they think that even though they may be close to those rocks where the siren song is and they're a part of the siren song, that they might be protected because they're clinging to the rocks. I'm here to tell you, my friends, that anybody and everybody who is not on board with the solution is a part of the problem. You've heard me say this time and time again, and this is the truth. If you're not engaged in the problem, you're actually engaged, or if you're not engaged in working on the solution, then you're actually engaged in the problem. This is why we asked yesterday to make sure your friends and or any like-minded person listens to the show today, because what we're going to cover will, I don't want to say amaze you, but we're going to actually cover things that nobody else talks about. We've already talked about the militia. Bottom line, every citizen has a responsibility to be a part of the militia, whether you're in the organized or unorganized. But everybody also has a constitutional right to petition their government for the redress of grievances, and nobody's been taught how to do that. Nobody is doing that. What we need to do is help you understand how to use your First Amendment right. Well, so what if I petition government? The things you need to petition government for is what's important. You need to start calling out that public servants need to be held accountable in accordance with the Constitution, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. You also need to start petitioning your local county commissioners and your local governments for them to convene common law grand juries so that they can make declarations as to whether our constitutional rights have been violated or not regarding the stay-home orders and everything else. This is how we create boiling pots in every county in a red state. This is how we actually push that ball across the goal line. This is how we're going to score. I hope everybody's kind of seen those memes. Not like I've gotten a lot of traction on that because I just announced it yesterday, but if you go to Mobius Strip Press on Facebook, and I don't have them up, and I don't have, and as a matter of fact, I'm really backlogged on getting a lot of the podcasts up to Reclaiming the Republic this week. Actually, it's probably a couple of weeks behind, so we will do everything we can to get caught up this weekend. Anyway, we appreciate all of you who have been listening. And I will say this, if you're listening and you're sharing the content, you are actually engaged somehow in the solution because you're actually helping people get the message and helping people understand that there are processes within the Constitution, that we have the Constitution in our benefit, not as a weapon against us. And in using the Constitution as our weapon against our enemies of the Constitution, we're going to win. We will win this battle. Now, one of the other things I wanted to make a comment, but and then we'll move forward with a lot of this stuff that we talked about yesterday. Luntz, if you know who Frank Luntz is, he's been on TV, he's been on Fox News, he's the statistician analyst guy, and he is constantly talking about the statistically this, statistically that. And for the most part, for the longest time, he's really tried not to show his colors. Well, a good friend of mine, Douglas V. Gibbs, who actually he brought me onto his radio show back in 2013, 2014. And that's when I really got started on KCAA out of LA. And so what Doug has told me going into his home and having a conversation and seeing, you know, Frank Luntz and being there, he basically says, I can't believe what a liberal this guy is. He says, this guy is a hard to the core liberal. And I go, well, he kind of shields a lot of that for most of the people. And he goes, yeah, he does. Well, I'm telling you, he's exposed himself, because the way he peddled and the way he basically said that Trump has not been able to do what's necessary, I believe that that is the, because a lot of people listen to what he says and takes him as, oh, he's an unbiased person. And I think he's trying to use his position, any position he has, to help get people to not vote for Trump and or people to consider it's a lost cause, don't vote. He is using his position, and he's exposed himself. So I love it when we have progressives that finally come out, especially those on Fox News. I mean, Donna Brazile, come on, really? She is the cheerleader for the communist revolution. I can't believe Fox, they have these people on. I guess you have to have these ridiculous Baghdad Bobs on so that everybody can go, wow, this is an idiot. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two messages.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so the last thing I really want to talk about regarding the debates is kind of, I guess, just basic, duh. Everybody that listens to this show has already decided. And I believe that those of you who watch the debates, that listens to this show, actually needed to watch the debates to feel better, to know that, oh, Trump didn't look like an idiot, that he actually made Biden look more like an idiot. And so I'm glad everybody was at least able to have the feel-good moment out of the debates and out of this election cycle. Again, I do not believe that the votes are there for the Democrats. I just don't. I don't believe that America, the majority of Americans, want socialism. I believe most people understand this. This is why the Democrats have been notorious and for years have been using the system with election fraud and manipulating the system to get the outcome necessary. I already talked about the 2012 election. If you want me to talk about it again, I will. But the evidence is overwhelming that the Democrats have been playing with the numbers for a long time via election fraud and voter fraud. Okay, so one of the things, and I'm just going to kind of repeat some of this stuff, because if the Democrats get away with pulling the wool over America's eyes by basically fixing this election, then I hope everybody has, you know, that really good feel-good moment that they're going to confirm Barrett. But the fact of the matter is, if the Democrats take a long hold, they're going to be able to use the nuclear option in the Senate instead of having those safety measures where we have a considerable advantage, where you have to have 60 votes to actually get your appointments and to get things done in the Senate. Having those barriers is far better than it is to be able to just, you know, ramrod through. And so when the Democrats start ramrodding, because they actually were the ones that started it in the first place. And so, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. What we should have done was we should have had the, you know, when the Democrats did that, when the Senate was taken over by the Republicans, they should have tried to undo those things and actually try to create those guards again to say there's a reason why we don't believe in mobocracy. Anyway, let me just kind of go forward with some of these things that we expose, because we've got a lot of good G. Edward Griffin information and some other anecdotal information that I believe you'll find very interesting. Anyway, a 39-page document, Stopping the Coup, The Disruption Guide for 2020, reportedly published by the DisruptionProject.org and spread by the Shutdown DC. I guess that's a movement or organization. Both leftist organizations was revealed. The document essentially provides instructions for staging a coup rather than trying to stop one, as it claims. The plan is to paralyze commerce and the government and to seize political power in the event the Democrats lose the election. The goal is to disrupt everyday life as an incentive to change the American system. Tactics include shutting down highways, disrupting commerce, conducting strikes and boycotts. The document states the need to force some pillars of power, which are business, military, media, and other major institutions, to side with them. As usual, they attempt to claim the moral high ground by claiming that the violence that they will unleash is necessary to put an end to white supremacy and capitalism. Remember, the ends always justify the means, right? There is something fishy. This is G. Edward Griffin's kind of editorializing here. There is something very fishy about what appears to be a publicity-style announcement of what is, in essence, an act of treason. If anyone other than the professional terrorists pretending to be social justice warriors or social warriors were to do this, they would be in prison within hours of publication, and so those who fund and train them. Even the document that advocates this treason has a fishy spell to it. Instead of looking like a military strategy manual, which it claims to be, it is designed in an attractive and happy style headline fonts and blocks of pleasant colors. That suggests it is really designed for public consumption / marketing or eye appeal and eye candy, and that its real goal is not to organize a revolutionary corps, a coup, but to convince the general public that when what was organized months ago actually happens, it could be explained as a spontaneous uprising in response to the document. The creepy suspicion grows or continues to grow that both sides of this election are confronting voters with good cop, bad cop scenario, in which the bad cop is deliberately offensive and threatening, so the good cop will be seen as their friend. What if the people all along is to be, okay, what if the plan, not the people, what if the plan all along is to be, or as to get people to get the good guy elected by a huge majority, largely created by revulsion to the bad guys. And of course, they're all talking about white supremacy because they've been labeling and they've been doing this marketing for so long that white supremacy is a real problem. Even our white, bald, old sheriff in Spokane, who knows that the people he's been railing against aren't white supremacist racist, but he labels them and he's been effective in getting people to believe that these people, because they espouse the Constitution as the guide, oh, well, that's got to be racist. Those guys were racist. They had slaves. And that is a broken argument. Anyway, then they have the bad guys and their friends embedded throughout the government and corporations, what the document calls pillars of power, cause an intense wave of domestic terror so the good guy will be hailed as a hero when he calls for martial law, which is what both sides have been working toward all along. Martial law proclaimed by the bad guy would be strongly opposed by the American people. Now, this is one of the reasons why I've educated you regarding martial law, that the states have no power anymore because of the 14th Amendment to be able to declare martial law. They cannot suspend our constitutional rights. And the Constitution, based on its terms and definitions, the federal government can't unless we restore the militia, because that was a clear definition provided in the Virginia Ratification debates by Nicholas, Madison, and plenty of others. So my point is that unless you really understand that they can't do it, when they do it, you're going to just go, oh, I guess it's martial law. No, don't believe them. They have deceived us, and they've ignored that we have these stop gaps. We have these protections, what we call firewalls, or they're not separations of powers, but they're checks and balances, that the only way martial law can be declared by the federal government is for the militia, for us to be able to enforce it. We can't allow the UN or any other force, a military force even, in executing martial law in the United States. That's why they created that check and balance. Anyway, Griffin goes on and says, however, if proclaimed by the good guy, there would be no objection from his supporters because there is violence in the streets, and after all, he is the good guy. And so he goes on and on about, you know, what he's trying to say here and so forth. But bottom line, friends, they are strategizing. They are trying to figure out how to cook America to basically create the cake they want. And so, anyway, let me kind of move on to the next one. One of the things that you didn't know that is actually coming along, and we've actually fished this out on the internet, President Trump, and you know there's a 60 Minutes interview coming up, and the White House has been actually trying to release the footage and so forth of this to spoil this whole thing, because basically 60 Minutes and CBS did what they could to try to set him up. And so Tuesday, he did not return for his appearance that he was supposed to tape with Vice President Trump. So the interesting thing is, here he is in providing evidence and information regarding his actual interview to pull the rug out from underneath CBS and 60 Minutes. The bad guys, definitely mainstream media. Anybody that's chanting the mantra of the mainstream media. But you got to understand that there's controlled opposition over on the good guy side. When I say those who are supposedly supporting liberty. So don't believe, because we know the Republican Party, we know the NRA, we know the John Birch Society. A lot of these are steeped into the maintaining relevance, and they're desperate to try to maintain keeping their lights on and keeping their organization going forward. Anyway, here's some information, because I find the evidence is pretty disturbing on how far left Canada has gone or have they become regarding how deep the leftist control has over the election process in Canada. If you didn't know, Trudeau was just in an election, was given a vote of confidence by the people. And I'm going, are you kidding me? Really? Okay, so when we come back, we've got a few more things that are kind of out in the news, and we have some more G. Edward Griffin good need-to-know news that will help you sleep better this weekend. So we will be right back after this promo. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so one of the things I'm trying to prove is how the left has really been successful in controlling the narrative and in pushing and manipulating the masses. As I just stated, if you look at Canada, that pretty much has state-run everything now, they actually gave Trudeau a vote of confidence. Another thing that came out that the news is kind of pointing out, that 35-year-old and younger women prefer Biden over Trump. Really? So apparently pedophilia and, you know, those creepy Joe hugs and so forth. As I stated in my meme, acorns don't fall far from the tree. And these women are willing to, this is just how well manipulated they have been. I just want you to understand, if you go back 35 years, okay, so if you take, you know, 10 years away, that's 10 years today. That's 2010. Another 10 years to take it back to 15. That would be 2005. So, in other words, at what point in time does a child really start being really manipulated away from their parents and towards the statist ideology? Well, we already know that the informative years in education are usually those first 3 to 5 years. That's why Hillary, in It Takes a Village book, said we want to actually start injecting social workers into children's lives much earlier than kindergarten so that we can gain better control of the children. And they believe if they can gain better control, then they can actually have better success in indoctrinating them and not losing them later on in life when they start waking up to the reality. People are going to wake up to the reality. That's one of the failed things of, unless they can constantly re-brainwash you and put you into, you know, the what was it, Catch-22. It was Clockwork Orange, where they put Malcolm McDowell in the chair, they held his eyes open, and they just indoctrinated him with all this imagery and so forth. Now, of course, it was a movie, but the point is that if the state could, they would re-brainwash you as soon as you started coming to your senses. So, what are we going to do when we have 35-year-old women who have been in the system and were this is the success. This should be a gold star shining success on the education system and how well they've indoctrinated these our future generations into grasping and holding on to not necessarily the personalities of people or the merit and or their actions, but the paradigms of, oh, we need, you know, these not just strong safety nets, we need the state to provide these things because they believe that the state is the solution. Excuse me, that's exactly how they've been taught. So more evidence comes forth on how to kill religious expression and these types of things when we start really looking at, you know, how the left is actually trying to get people to move away from religious expressions. And as a matter of fact, as we look at the news and so forth, is not the news highlighting these churches and so forth, such as North Carolina and California? Oh, well, you know, because these churches are having these unsanctioned and unhealthy, you know, no social distancing, no mask types of meetings, that church is bad. This is all a part of the narrative from what's going on in Canada, the demographics of younger women and younger people, period, as well as how they're constantly presenting data for you to digest and going, oh my gosh, can't you realize that the left is just constantly selling you on the paradigm that liberty is bad, that we need to be locked down, we need to have face masks, government's got to take care of us. Here's a good one. There was an agreement, if you didn't know this, there was agreement between the Vatican and China, which calls for China to formally recognize the Pope's authority within the church, while the Vatican in turn recognized the legitimacy, now get this, the Vatican in turn recognizes the legitimacy of bishops previously appointed by Beijing. Isn't that interesting? Is there any difference? Well, there wasn't any difference a long, long time ago with Constantine controlling everything. And so I'm hoping, you know, I hope everybody that is a part of a Christian faith, whatever it is, I hope you challenge the paradigms and the doctrines that you're seeing that is being unveiled before you regarding your Christian faith, whether that be Catholicism or what. Start reading, just read the Bible and look at what Christ did, what he said, and how he organized his church. He actually organized a church. He told his apostles how to go out and apostolate and how to teach and so forth. Start looking at what he did and how he organized his efforts, his grassroots movement back then. This is what you need to be looking for in comparing and contrasting with what you've got. Then you can start waking up and going, huh, wow, I'm not seeing Christ in this church. We need to start thinking for ourselves, friends. And the good old entitlement of socialism and communism. One of the things I love is this meme, and sometimes imagery is very, very powerful, and it shows this guy standing on the end of a plank, that the plank, and he's on the end that's out on over the ledge, and there's a guy standing on it that's literally keeping him from that plank from falling off the ledge. And the guy's holding a gun, and he's going to shoot the guy that's standing on the edge of that board so that when he kills that guy, basically he's going to fall off the cliff. And that is, to me, that really sums up what communism is, because they kill the productivity, they destroy. Now, you got to understand that they don't necessarily kill productivity. They kill those who challenge them. They, as long as they have control over the people, and when we're talking about an enslavement where they have full control, you are subjugated, you don't comply, they kill you. And people say, well, they can't kill all of us. Well, they will kill enough to where you'll go, you know what, I've got to do what I've got to do what I'm told. And you will be forced into slavery. That's what they're going to do, because people say, well, I'd rather be alive and a slave. One of the doctrines that we read regarding rape in the Bible, I think it was Christ or one of the apostles that said, it is far better to die fighting and protecting your innocence and virtue than it is to allow yourself to be molested. It is the same principle here, my friends. We cannot surrender to becoming molested by the state. Now, here's another good one, because this all goes into the entitlement and socialism / communism, how we're all entitled to this. New York City will join Seattle and Portland, Oregon in filing a lawsuit over President Trump's threatening withdrawal of federal funds from cities that permit anarchy and city officials that allow that to happen. This just happened this past week, actually yesterday. And so I want you to think about this. Here the state or these cities are saying, you have to pay us. We have to take care of these people just because we don't do your bidding. You know what? Mr. Trump needs to understand that the Article 4 of the Constitution, Section 4, guarantees that the federal government will not only, you know, guarantee a Republican form of government, but they will also guarantee protection from an invasion, which the states are failing on that, as well as from domestic violence, and the states are failing on that. And so Trump needs to take the stand as far as the constitutional stand. If these people don't allow the federal government to give what they guarantee, the one thing that's guaranteed them, nowhere in the Constitution is there any dollar or welfare or anything guaranteed to the city or state. One thing that is guaranteed is the protection from an invasion, a protection from democracy, and a protection from domestic violence and insurrections. And so if the states aren't going to do their job, I believe that if this goes up to the Supreme Court, we actually might see, because this would be a good conservative position for what we would see the Supreme Court in actually ruling. So I'm hoping, and excuse the expression, I'll just, instead of using the bad word for it, I hope that Portland, Seattle, and New York get woman slapped by the court and say, are you kidding? Get out of here. Another thing that really here's interesting, and I want to just get this in, the U.S. approves $1.8 billion in a potential arms sales to Taiwan, and China is not happy. Again, I am telling you, we need to send the message to Trump to ask Hong Kong, Taiwan, and every state that is being harassed and trying to be subjugated by the state of China, ask every single one of them, why don't you consider becoming a state in the United States so that you don't have to be subjugated by China? What do you think China would do? I'm telling you, offering liberty and bringing the world into the fullness of liberty and being able to choose for themselves their own destiny and not allowing theocracies and these other types of evil doctrines to subjugate people, that is the way forward. The Lord gave us the plan of globalism, and it's right there in our own Constitution. With that, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. Have a great weekend. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government.
This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.